start with this week's cheer now. I got, a little bit sidetracked this week, I will admit. I started looking into the sugya, and as you'll hear next week, God willing, it's a fascinating sugya, the sugya of Asiyas Beis Yad Bivasar, to make some sort of handle or carrying hole in a piece of meat. And the poskim ended up discussing something which I thought was fascinating, which was an afikomen. Now, you'll ask me, what does afikomen have to do with our Gemara in Beitza? And that's exactly what the whole shir is about. So let's begin with source number Aleph. This is going to be obviously quite different than usual. First of all, you'll notice a couple of English sources from people who either did their research on it and wrote in English, or in the first case, a Meshumid who, you know, left the Jewish faith and decided to write all about the customs that he saw on Pesach and other times. So we have a little bit of English, but hopefully it will provide the same interesting learning. So let's begin. While a very late source, it's always fun. Academics love quoting Mishumadim in their journals and writing about their old traditions. So being that we had so many different choices to choose from, some from earlier, some from later, I chose one about in the middle of the 1800s, a guy by the name of Chaim Isaacs, who converted to Christianity. It's, you know, you have the front page of the book with all the different descriptions of what's going on, and this token, you know, quote from the New Testament. So anyways, he explains what happens on Pesach. He says, after this, the master of the house takes the other cake from between the napkins, okay, cakes being matzos, of course, and breaks it as the former, except one quarter of it, which is left whole. Okay, so we've got three quarters and one quarter. People have this minhag of the dalid and the yud, or other things that they have at the Seder. Then he gives one round the table two pieces, one to eat and the other to save. This they generally do the year round in commemoration of the Passover, meaning that they have two pieces. And in the quarter which is not broken, they bore a hole. And here's where it gets completely crazy from what we've seen. So, right, we've broken up the matzahs, we've given out pieces to people to eat. And now he says we save the piece. And in the quarter that's remaining, the afikoman, ostensibly, they make a hole in it. And afterwards hang it up in some conspicuous place in their dwelling. The second night of Passover, they go through the same ceremony as the first. So what they would do is you have this little quarter piece of matzah left, and they take out their drill or something like that anyways. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's going to be part of the halachic discussion as we get to, you know, are you just allowed to make holes in things on Pesach? Especially holes that are going to make it now, you know, utilizable in some way. You can now hang it.
Made it clean.
Right. It's a serious kasha. That's a machalokas rishon, and what you did wrong when you did it with meat. And again, we're going to hopefully discuss that next week. Right. But he says, you know, you take out your, you know, whatever it is, your knife, your finger, you punch a little hole in the middle of this afikom and you make sure it doesn't break around so you can hang it. You put a string through it and you tie it up on your wall. This is what people were doing on Pesach in the days of this Meshumed.
Right, but one thing I don't understand is this. How do you make a hole? It says they generally do the year round.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's correct. The way I understood and the way I tried to present it was that it's having two different matzahs. So yes, that's...
Oh, okay, that's... All right. The way it's phrased
is... Yeah, I wouldn't read too much...
Probably translation from the German.
Oh, that's not...
Likely.
It doesn't always translate.
Yeah, and nor would I put much stock into in commemoration of the Passover. I don't believe...
Okay.
That's meant to be there. But anyways,
okay.
We do get to see this was a minhag that people did. And in fact, somebody told me, someone they know, actually stores their afikomen in a picture frame behind glass and keeps it up on their wall. You know, first we put ksubas and we frame those and we make a big deal out of those. And then we take our afikomen, apparently. I figured, you know...
This is somebody from?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? How do they get to the
mitzvah? They keep a little piece. What's the problem?
Oh,
they ate it already.
Oh, see.
They don't do it instead of eating it. They take a little piece. We'll actually talk about what size pieces people would use for this. You guys think it's crazy right now, but these are actually discussions.
My kids hid the afikoman in a picture frame once.
Uh-huh. Really? They're mechavin to the heilige minag.
I was about to give up when I noticed that.
Anyway, so the main places that we see this minhag appearing are actually in halachic sources, mainly from the 17th and 18th century.
On Pesach already?
From what I understood, they even hang it on Pesach.
On Pesach.
On some sort of, like peg or something. If they don't hang it on Pesach, they certainly keep it around, but I believe, from what I've seen, they even hang it on Pesach.
Isn't it a little bit chachana? Or chao in some ways?
Now, what are they being mechened it for? It's not like they're going to use it then, and they're putting it away in some, prohibited way. They want it to be hanging on Pesach too. It looks very beautiful, the matzah amulet.
It's not even clear who he witnessed.
He's saying this was the custom of the people in his time, and it's not weird. You see this, as we're going to see, in many, many sources.
But the people could have been the people of Haskalah.
They could have been.
Not necessarily.
They could have been. I would guess, personally speaking, if I was a Moskal in Germany in the 18-whatevers, this would not be a minhag that I would be keeping up. Okay? I would assume this to be more traditionalist. We don't ever get rid of this. But the truth is, this is a very, very strong minhag. It's supported by many, many of the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch, especially those, again, living in the 17th and 18th century. You see it in Magen Avraham, you see it in Nali Rava, you see it in Prima Gadim, and they're all discussing halachic aspects of it, but it's clear that this was something which people did in their time. So much so the Mishnah Berurah even quotes it and has a discussion of it, which we'll see next week.
Oh, really? So it's not limited to Germany itself?
It spread.
This is contrary to the other minhag, which is to have it on your shoulder and walk around.
So there are people who connect it to Mish'aro Samsuros V'simul Sam Al Shechmam, that there's supposed to be something left over, so to say.
Okay.
But I was thinking of putting that source on the sheet and discussing it, but I decided to go against it because that doesn't actually seem to be the source of the minhag. So let's learn a little bit about this. Fortunately, I found a very interesting piece. Shimur Afikoman Achrei Leil Shimurim by Dr. Michal Rigler, which was quite ironic because I was also reading a post on Sfarim blog this week, which we'll actually quote from Sfarim blog later, where he was quoted in he wrote a paper on, the title Hanesher HaGadol, and who it refers to and why. So anyways, it was an interesting piece, but he was quoted in there too. I was like, weird, I've never heard of this guy before. Not that I know all these professors and everything. I don't know. Anyways, the point is he has the following to write. And he actually quotes us one of the biggest sources in the discussion. He says, we have two types of, different guardings and keeping this throughout the year that we see. Either it's hung in a place where everybody can see it, or some people just choose to keep it around with them. They slip it in their pocket. Good luck charm matzah. Right? You've got your lucky penny and your lucky afikomen, and you put that in your pocket. You will see that the last source is going to be the most astounding here. So when we get there, you will see how seriously people take this. He says, in fact, some people even have the minhag to take a piece of the afikoman, again, puncture a hole in it, and hang it on the wall in one of the rooms in order that there should be extra shmira on the house. Remind you of anything, people? Mezuzahs. Mamash like mezuzahs, and as we're going to see, there is actually quite strong support for that comparison. And that's obviously, again, going to be our discussion next week. Is this allowed? In 1683, the Kitzur Hashla was first printed. Not the Shla itself, but the Kitzur Hashla. And in Hilchos Pesach, Taf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, he writes, Yeshno hagin likach chaticha mehafikomen ve'osin bonake v'tola osu bekir v'tola kach kol hashana. And he mentions this minhag that we talked about. V'lo nimsa minhag zeh b'shum sefer. And this minhag is not found in any book. U'lefi anius ta'ati lo shapir avdi tahave b'ziya ochlin. He raises the first issue that's going on here. And the Kitzur Hashla writes that there's a problem with this minhag. It says, first of all, it's unsupported. Whoever heard of such a thing? We do have other sources, actually, from earlier that talk about the afikoman being some sort of shmira, and we'll get to those as we go along. The actual idea of poking a hole in it and hanging it, we do see from some pretty contemporary sources to 1683. So, I mean, he was probably writing this earlier if it was printed for the first time in 1683. It may have been a few years before that when this was actually written. But certainly we have no shortage of sources from, again, the 17th century. Late 17th century, if not mid-17th century. And so he doesn't like this idea. He says it's bizui ochlin. Vamru azal hatola pito yitla panasaso. Number two, he has a chazal that this is incompatible with. Upracha tolan hachaticha shalafi komen b'masmer. Right? And he says, you know, people are hanging this on a nail sticking out of their wall. You know, how bad could this be? Ela imrotin l'kayna minag yikach davar me'at me'ha'afi komen lasim etzlo b'kiso. Rotzel omar b'soch hozin zak. B'lashon Ashkenaz, hainu kisui michnasav, kisei michnasav, I don't know if I said kisui, kisei michnasav, in his pockets, okay, put them in your hosen sock, okay?
House.
Yes, your exactly.
Your pants.
Yes, your pants pocket.
V'hu
sigula lehatzilo min ha-gazlane ul havriach ha-klipos mimenu.
You can imagine how hard the muscle was in those times.
Yes. Yes, and I had a good chuckle. V'hu sigula lehatzilo min ha-gazlane. So it's because when someone tries to pickpocket you, who knows what they'll end up with. But anyways, the point is this is a real thing. Now, this actually does provide shmira, as we're going to see from a number of sources, but the Ketzer Ashla decries this minag of hanging it on the wall. He doesn't like it because it's bizoyan ochlin. And as he says, oyikach davar mami afikoman v'yaniach b'veso b'makom mutzna mehatamanal. Or you can hide it somewhere else, hidden away, I guess, where it will be better preserved. Meha amur ola, says Dr. Rigler, sheminhag litlos afikomen haya yadua v'nafutz b'yamav shel mechaber sefer kitzur ashla af shelo matza mekor v'rem is b'sfarim shehayu mukarim lo. Even though he didn't find a source in this farm, this was something that was very widespread. If you got to decry a minhag, it means that people were doing this. Right, I had a similar discussion when before Hanukkah. I was talking about the public reading of Megillas Antiochus. I gave a shiur on that for the Kolos pre-Hanukkah Learnathon. And the Rid writes, please, please, don't make a bracha when you read Megillas Antiochus in shul. Which means everybody was making brachas, right? That's the way we find out historically what was taking place, is when people decry these things, it means that's what people were doing at that time. Now, there we go. Okay.
What is that?
We have the Mikol Tzara Hatzileni, which, by the way, I saw people talk about that Mikol Tzara Hatzileni as the Rosh Tevos of Matzah. And when is this from? Holy smokes.
I have no idea.
This is actually from, this is 22 years old. Baruch Hashem. Wow.
What exactly is it?
For those of you who are listening on the recording to this, which I don't know how many people there will be, but one of the Shir attendees just took out a piece of matzah in a card from 22 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And yeah,
and you carry it on Pesach too, right?
And no one has stolen anything from him yet.
Oh yeah, it says.
So you carry. It's for your. You carry it on Shabbos and Yom Tov.
For your health and protection.
Okay, we'll see about that in.
It's a segula.
Yes, it is a segula. That's what you spoke about. You can pass it around.
Was that a fundraiser?
Maybe we could get a pick.
Howie, I don't know how much I paid for that matzah, but.
But it's protected you ever since. Eh? It's a good segula.
And guys, it's shmura matzah.
Yeah. Oh, not just ordinary matzah.
Okay. Oh, and it quotes a Zohar Pinchas, which we're going to see later. Beautiful.
Okay. Does it say it's an afikoma? From an afikoma? Okay.
I don't know if it says that. It doesn't say that.
It says the enclosed shmurim.
Yeah, it's a machlokas between poskim, as we're going to... it's a machlokas between authorities as to whether or not it's better to have afikoma or not, as we're going to see. But anyways, okay. The point is, this was a real minag. This is what the Ketzer Ashla suggests, and that's what was going on in those days, and this is sort of our introduction. People felt very strongly about having the afikoman around.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, the first thing to deal with is this issue of Bizayon Ochlin. So we have a response from actually not that much later. The Shavuz Yaakov writes, Ve'al sheshe al tani, ta'am al tliyas afikoman. And this said, you asked me the reason for hanging the afikoman, which again, everybody did. Lo shamati ledavar ta'am. He says, in fact, I actually haven't heard of any reason. Uvikitzer shneilucha sabris kasav she'en la'astos kein shehu bizui ochlin. And he quotes this kitzer ashla, v'lo yadati ma bizui yesh bazeh. What are you talking about?
What's the problem?
What's the problem? How could this possibly be bizui ochlin? What about this is bizui ochlin? Ume olam ra'isi me rabosai va'avosai shenagu kein. He says, this is already a minhag Yisrael Torah. My Rebbe does it. My father does it. My other Rebbe does it. My grandfather did it, v'kachas among Avram Barachayim simetavkuf sifkatan Zion, which is exactly where I found this first. Shekasav shenokin came to loki yesh machmir in Arkan Lashono. V'ein kan bizui mitzvah? He says, not only is there not bizui ochlin, It's not even something wrong to do to the mitzvah, meaning we may have a higher standard. We may have a higher standard.
Who's this Yeshua character?
Stay calm.
Yeah, okay. At some point, this recording is going to have to get pulled down. When we have too much Yeshua discussions here, especially between the Mishumet and
that's
right, yes. The Segula and the Afikoman, we're going to get in trouble.
It's Refuah Yeshua.
Refuah Yeshua and Nachas Prius. Okay. Anyways, so what he says is, he says, not only is it not Bizoy Ochlin, that you're not supposed to leave food out like this, he says there's nothing wrong with the way we do this, it's certainly not Bizoy Ochlin, but he even says it's not even Bizoy Mitzvah, meaning you might think that we have a higher, you know, regard for things that are used as a mitzvah, so you shouldn't leave your, you know, tefillin hanging out all day, but apparently with Matzah he says it's not even Bizoy Mitzvah, V'zichron Litzias Mitzrayim. He says he thinks that it's because of Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim, meaning you've got your matzah hanging there on the wall, you can always look up and be reminded of, you know, Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim when you see your matzah on the wall. Okay, very nice idea. Now, what might be the machlokas between the, you know, Kitzer Hashla and the Shvus Yaakov? One of them says it's obviously Bizoy Ochlin, the other one says it's obviously not Bizoy Ochlin. What might be a machlokas? Any suggestions?
Whether it's Ochlin or not.
It's certainly Ochlin. I think they both agree with that.
Well, it's the size of the piece. You know, take a crumb.
Okay, the size of the piece. That could be. I don't think, if at the end of the day it's something degrading, I don't think it should make a difference as to what size it is.
We're not.
You're using it for something very useful. You're saving people from your house. That doesn't matter. Bal tashkes doesn't mean that you don't eat something. It's bal tashkes sometimes to eat. I would refer you back. We had a headline here. There was a story a couple of months ago around Christmas time where a No Frills lost power and all the freezers went out on Christmas Day. And, you know, there were discussions. They threw out a whole bunch of food and people were crying. How could you? There's so many poor, starving people. And they, you know, called people to go into the dumpster and take food. Not the No Frills, these, you know, the activists. And as we discussed there, it's not Bal Tashkes to throw out food. Common misunderstanding. It's Bal Tashkes to do something which is destructive. If this is something which you're doing with it, which is constructive, even if you, you know, maybe doing something destructive at that time. For example, Rav Eliezer Melamed writes in Panini Halacha that if you're full and there's still lots of food there, forcing yourself to eat it is not a midas chasidus where I'm stopping from doing bal tashkes. You're doing more bal tashkes by eating your more than your fill and by, you know, achila gasa. Correct.
Okay, but then, so you're saying that there's the distinction between Bizoy Ochlin and Bal Tashkes. Bizoy Ochlin is taking...
There certainly is. I don't think they're the same at all.
All right, so if we're going to talk about Bizoy Ochlin, then there's no hakpad on a piece that's less than a design.
Okay, could be. Because you're saying it doesn't have a shem ochel. We'll discuss that a little bit later. Yeah?
Because it's been used for a mitzvah, and it's your Bizoy something that could have...
The Kitzer Ashkelon doesn't say that. He says Bizoy Ochlin. He says it's food. You don't do that with food.
So I don't know what the dot dot dots are after that.
Well, where?
Whether
I skipped around, yeah.
He didn't say anything about hanging it on Yom Tov, but maybe he doesn't agree with that.
Well, we'll talk about that point, but that's not what they're debating here. I'm asking you, if I told you there's two opinions in the world, one says it's Bizoy Ochlin, the other one says it's not, why would they argue?
Bizoy Ochlin doesn't even mean wasting it. You know, if if you use one piece of food as a spoon and you don't eat it with the food that you're spooning, then that's Bizoy Ochlin. So it's
what constitutes Bizoy, I guess that's the one question.
Ah, okay, so that's very important. So I saw two possibilities. One could be what I've heard a lot of you saying basically, which is that it probably also depends on how you see the minhag altogether. If you feel that this is something holy and good, then you might say that's enough to justify leaving it out. Why? You're framing it, you're hanging it up, it's not bizui. But if you view this as something that's meaningless and has no reason and some people are doing it and you don't think it's a good idea, then I see why leaving something out for a year you might consider bizui ochlin. So I think that that's definitely a factor in how they view these minhag. And as you can see, the kitzer Hashla use it very negatively, and the Shvus Yaakov holds it as Kodesh Kadashim. The other thing, though, I saw is that people talked about that it would actually get wormy and rotten and spoiled in some cases. If it was really hard, dry matzah with no moisture, you'd avoid that. But if it wasn't, it could get really, really gross. And it could be that in their different places, you know, perhaps, you know, climates may have been slightly different. Even the way that they were guarding it and the way that they were...
Isn't the Yemenite very soft, isn't it? The matzah, right?
Right. Yeah. So I don't know where both of these mechabrim lived, and I didn't check into it. But I'd be less likely to even say just places as opposed to the way that they did it. Some people just hung it up, you know, and kept it dry and safe. And other people, you know, might have been leaving hanging outside, you know, when their door get rained on and turn gross. So I don't know if that would also be. But it's rare to see such a machlokes poskim where one's like, I have no idea what he's even talking about. It seems to be that it's more of a metzias thing.
So the fact that it becomes inedible has nothing to do with bizui.
So potentially not. You would think that it would. But clearly the Shvus Yaakov is saying if it's being used for something noble enough, then that's not bizui.
And again, there's no hue to finish the Afikoman in entirety and not leave anything over.
Apparently not.
Surprised to hear that.
Okay.
I would have thought to the contrary, but...
I mean, we're going to talk about it in source number hey. And in fact, we're going to talk about it in a bit of a different way. Ah, there we go. Okay, so he's already head over here. The Balabayas is well read. Anyways, in source number Dalet, we get a repetition of this. Number one is Echol Yetzias Mitzrayim. Number two, it's Mesugal Shmirah Oderach from the Mekor Chaim. Anybody who knows the Mekor Chaim was?
Yeah.
Commentary on Shulchan Aruch written by Rabbi Yair Bachrach. Exactly. The Chavos Yair, if that rings any bells. Right. A tremendous posik, but this was just recently reprinted, the Mekor Chaim, not long ago. It's a very good safer in terms of apparently establishing Minhagim.
Learning it for a bit. I have both, actually.
It's fascinating to say. For anyways, so he brings this minhag.
The fact that they were traveling in the
desert. Yeah, they had it over their back, so it's a good segula. Right. It's Echol Yetzias Mitzrayim. He says everything's good. Okay. Now we start getting to another halachic question and opposition from another perspective. And this is where it gets a little weird, but also interesting, and there's a little bit of lamdus in this. So, the Ateres Paz writes as follows. V'lechara haya efshar lahosif lomar. Lefihad dekasav agona chasid rabbi Eliyahu ha-Kohen b'sefer midrash talpios shehevi sham b'shem sefer ha-tishbi es inyan zeh shel ha-segula l'shar me-ha-fikom. Sefer Tishbi was written around 1500, by the way, for reference, if we're looking for earlier and earlier sources. Okay? And he already brings this segula to leave over from the Afikoman. V'sham kasav b'zeh lashon, and he wrote in the following language: Yikach davar me'afikoman linso etzlo o b'makom acher v'hisu segula li natzel min ha'gazlanim ul havriach ha'klipos mimenu, etc. Okay? So this was what we had written, which was actually the language used in the Kitzur Ashla. Okay, so that's what you should do. And he has this minhag. He says, based on this minhag, v'lechora mi dinakat b'lashono yikach davar me'afikoman. Mashma milashon ze diyikach davar mu'at me'od. Sikach davar sounds like you're taking a little piece. It doesn't sound like you're taking a big piece. And he also next goes on, and I did this to save space, cut this piece out. But if you look back in source number two, inside the Kitzur Hashla, you'll notice, it says people take, right? Elem rotze l'kaim v'na giyikach davar me'at me'ha afikoman lasim etzlo b'kiso. He has two sources. He wants to say that you can be medayik in these sources, that we're only talking about a little piece. Now, why might that be? V'imkein ula yesh lomar, ki hinei matzinu shekasa v'sefer achinuch mitzvah ches, v'inyan lav delo sosiru mimenu ad boker d'nemar b'karban Pesach. So as you look at the Karban Pesach, there's an iser to leave it over to the next morning. V'zeh l'shono, shelo lehosir klum mi'bisar ha-Pesach l'macharaso shehu yom tesvav v'nisan, sh'nemar lo sosiru mimenu ad boker. Adkan. The Kasaf al Zeha Menchas Chinuch. The Menchas Chinuch writes on this Chinuch. Ki hine yesh la'amod b'lashono shel Sefer HaChinuch. Shekasav lo lahosir klum. Says the Sefer HaChinuch made an emphasized what? You can't leave anything. Even a little bit. V'ilu haramba meperigur me'elchas korban pesach alach yod alef kasav. V'tzarech adam sheishtadel shelo lehashir mi b'sar ha-pesach ad boker. He says you should not leave over any of the meat of the Pesach. And I said the word any, which is not written there. Until the morning, Shneamar lo sirman od boker, v'chazinan dilo hosiv vidvar of tevas klum. He doesn't have klum in there, though. V'im kein efshar lomar d'harav achinuch d'nakat klum sfirlei, d'kevan d'lav ze'enu ba'achila, im kein in tzarech kezayis ala afile moser kol shehu mikarban pesach over b'lav ze.
Okay,
efshar lomar, right? L'harambam delo nakid milas klum, sfir le derak bikizayas over belavzeh. So he makes the following deek. Says the Rambam didn't write klum, the Chinuch did. And we know that in terms of the general isurim relating to food, specifically eating, have a shira v'kizayis, perhaps the Rambam held that leaving over the isur of lo sasir only applies min haTorah, and we're not going to talk about chasi shira at this point, to a full kizayis. Okay, here we go. Right? HaRambam, do not get me l'chlom, sphere lay dirak b'kizayis over labzeh. V'him shech amin chaschinuch v'kasa, v'shuv ra'isi v'sefer mutzal mi'esh, asher ba li'adai ze yamin b'she'ela, v'amar al-chakirazu, and he actually has a whole din in Simon Nun Aleph in the mutzal mi'esh, im tzarech kizayis o afilu b'kolshu over labzeh, delo sasiru, v'diktek midivri HaRambam, shekatsa v'motzi zayis b'sar ha-pesach mi'achabura over v'loke shenemar lo sotzi, right, that you can't take it outside from your chabura. Umaz kibir dvar kizayis. V'kan kasav Rambam stam shalol hashir at boker v'lo kasav kizayis. The mutzal imesh was medayek. Right, near adhalav hu afilo akol shehu. Kenu bezichroni shira isi b'sefer analysis. That's what I remember seeing in the sefer. So this mechaber sefer was medayek, the opposite from the fact that the Rambam talks about when it comes to the halachos of being motzi min ha-chabura, taking out the besar ha-pesach at that point in time from the chabura. He mentions kezayis. He doesn't mention it by leaving it over. Therefore, this mechaber sefer of the mutzal v'esh was medayek, the opposite, that he was, he's willing to say no. Right? He says, v'hinei guf hadavar lo yadati l'chalek bin hotza mechabura almost here. T'shei alav emein amein yani achi. He says, neither of them are really about eating. Both of them are something else. So he says, if you have the halacha by is a kezayis by one, and the Rambam doesn't mention the word klum by the other, he would assume that both require a kezayis. You say, okay, Ezra, fine. We call Makom Tzarech Kezayis Ba'otza, right? Im Kain, Maishna Moser Me'otza, Ve'al Kain, Tzarech Lomar, Deshiur Nalach L'Moshe Mi'Sinai, Ad Kan Tochen Divrei HaMinchas Chinuch. So far, he's given us a nice shiur in Minchas Chinuch that has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about. He has a whole long shtick. U'me'ata. Lefi Divarav Elu Shel HaMinchas Chinuch, Desfir Le Lomar B'das HaRambam, Desir Nosar B'Karvan Pesach, Urak Kishim Moser Kezayis. Says, according to these, this opinion of the Minchas Chinuch, that according to the Rambam, it's only when you leave over a kezayis. Im kein lechora yesh lomar nami benidon didan. We should say also in our case, delefi mai dechazina midivrei harabanim dela'el. Dehamina lehaniach mimatzas afikomen hu davar ma muat. Because the minhag was only to leave over a little piece. Im kein hareze bepashtus pachos mishir kezayis. He says that's obviously going to be less than a kezayis. The way some people have kezayisim, leaving a whole matzah would be less than a kezayis. So you're not going to have a chashash of inyan nosar by the afikoman. And if you look down, he's going to tell you because there are poskim. There are poskim, real poskim. Skip down to the third to last line. To the third to last line. Third to last line. Kalashon hamiri hanal shekasav. Oshema matza b'achron zefer lepesachi v'nigreres bechukos. HaPesach. Because we have to explain, why is it that you can't eat afikoman so late? Why can't you eat it so late? The Meiri says, because it follows the halachos of Korban Pesach. This isn't, he's not alone. He is not alone. Well, that's his issue. That's his issue here. That's really his issue. Right?
But let's. Anybody who says you can do that.
Right?
In his other pocket, he has that.
In his other, exactly. So, anyways, but at this point, so he comes up with a bunch. He has a lot of, you know, issues and questions, but let's try to summarize what he said in between those different comments that we pointed out, in between the Meiri, which probably should have been at the beginning of this piece to explain it, not at the end. But anyways, he says, number one, we've still got a problem according to the Chinuch, who says that it's even less than a shir, even less than a kezayis, that's not allowed. Number two, v'gam od yesh lehizbonen, d'may neim lefi divrei shaar poskim, strafim ha'om d'mimal hanal, sheviu minagzeh shel shiur matzah safikomen, v'lo hizkiru klum lehaniach mimenu me'at. Upshat divrei hemora d'yachol lehaniach afilu kezayis v'yoser, v'lav dafka davar mu'at. V'gam ber divrei ha'tishbi v'kitzer shlo yesh lehizbonen, heim be'emes b'dafka naktu b'divreim sheshayar davar mu'at. He's saying in all these cases where they're really talking about taking something small, la'afuke yekezayis, he says the reality is that's probably not the case. And we're in a little bit of trouble, right? He says, however it is, Anan Bidi Denlafi Darkinu Nira Shiker Yishut Varenu Nachonhu Bisyata Dishmarek. If MSL Gabdul Mandamar Dafikom Kudakal Korban Pesach, you get Chukas HaPesach. So he says, what does Chukas HaPesach mean? He says, number one, we tried to answer it according to the Rambam, it's very nice. However, our diyuka may be wrong, and it's still wrong according to the other poskim. So how should we interpret this Meiri and these other poskim who say that the Chukos HaPesach apply to the Afikom? And we call Makom Yishlomar, which is, again, 2.5 lines up from the bottom. Dehani mili b'inyanim hakshurim la'achila mamish. Kigon hadil achlo kodem chatzos, v'lo la'achlo bebeiz chaburos v'chulei. Aval bidvarim chitzoniim hashayachim leguf karban pesach. Kihadinostar lo nasnu lo tokef shal karban pesach. Ucht b'yarnu b'ziyadzit shma yinuze bidvarenu b'fnim b'yeser harchava. So he says, let's not take things too far. Even if we have sources that say that the rules of the karban pesach apply to the matzah, that doesn't mean that the matzah needs shchita, and it doesn't mean, right? All of these different things don't apply. It's not the rules of the karban. It's the rules of how to eat it. How to eat it, that applies to the matzah. Eat it before chatzos. But the fact that there is an external, you know, avera of nosar, nah, don't worry about that.
Except
yes.
For laser, why did the minhag die? In other words, if this was such an
so emergency. It's not so crazy. Apparently, I was told by a few people, last night I mentioned to the headlines here, that people have this minhag, which I thought was completely crazy. Not crazy in a bad way, but crazy just I'd never heard of it. And, you know, I was like, when I read this, you're like, this is some ancient relic, exactly as you're suggesting. One person told me, what do you mean? Of course you keep your matzah the whole year. You burn it the next year when you're...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
People have that minhag to keep it a whole year.
Yeah.
People clearly, you know, at least in the Hasidic communities do that. Mm-hmm. And again, this person who mentions me, that, you know, someone, a Hasid, he said, from guy, who also hangs up his stuff. So I don't think it's foreign to us because let's be realistic. Which of us is the type of person who does these type of segulos in general?
I mean, they're doing halacha, but it sounds like it's from Kabbalah or something like that.
Well, that's
well, it's brought by so many halachic sources. You don't usually see that unless something's completely ingrained.
The 15th, 16th, 10th, we're very influenced by halacha.
Yeah,
Kenachanami, and it's clear that this comes from Kabbalah. We're going to quote a Zohar. We're going to quote Rav Chaim Vital. There's no question that that's the case, but the fact is this was something that was very mikubal, pun not intended, in their days. People really did this, and poskim bring it, the Puri Megadim, the El Yoraba, the Magen Avram, like these are really mainstream poskim that we're talking about, and everybody did this.
I never heard of using matzah for the fire. What they use basically is the leftover oil from the Hanukkah to use for bake on Pesach. The matzah,
you were supposed to burn it.
The mitzvah is too. I've heard that.
It's laminated, Howie.
I mean, you know, the destiny of this mahakim, I think, is of historical interest. Because you think of like the first wave of immigrants that came to this part of the world, were Russians and Litvaks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they came being Russians and Litvaks. They left the Polish and the Hungarians were left behind.
Mm-hmm.
In Germany, where this was all happening, by the 17th century, all of these things were losing legitimacy anyway. And even the people that stayed Orthodox stopped doing these things. And in Poland, by the time the First World War was over, young people stopped being frum. And you know, and the ones that were came here and consciously left things they felt.
Mm-hmm.
Left things behind that they felt were across the ocean. So, you'll basically see this among people who came here wearing their kapuchos and shinies.
Interesting.
Not anyone else.
Anyways, there's an interesting article on these minhagim and similar ones from these farm blog, which you see here in source number Vav. The first part I brought just so you have not only, you know, a related little maisala, but a good joke to share on Pesach. In a book filled with humor, which was called Osem Bosem, I kid you not, which received a haskama from Rav Chaim Berlin, a rich man complains to his friend the mice are eating his clothes. His friend suggests that he sprinkle the clothes with the crumbs of the afikoman that he saves each year. He guarantees the mice will not eat the clothes, as the halacha is that one cannot eat anything after the afikoman. So there we go. You have now a good Pesach joke to share from Sefer Osem Bosem.
A lot of people won't understand it.
Yes, but...
Is this the Eliezer Brot that lives here?
No, he's in Israel. He's in
I think this is Eliezer Brot.
He's in Ramat Bet Shemesh. He runs his forum blog.
Oh, yeah. He's a tremendous guy.
I thought Torblad was run by... Oh, yeah.
It's him, Dan Rabinowitz. Mark Shapiro's a regular contributor. Right. You can ask him, you know, about the stuff he's going to be in town this week.
Yeah, Rabinowitz just did a book.
Who else is it?
No, Mark Shapiro.
Oh, he's speaking at...
he's speaking at Orheim Planted Park and then at the Bayit.
Bayit, right.
Yeah. What Sunday, I think they're having a program. Anyways, but getting back to this. In other early Segulas farm, we find different Segulas associated with the Afikoman. In a rare work first printed in 1646, we find that it protects one from Azikim. At the end of the same work, the author writes that it can protect one from drowning at sea. Rav Binyamin Baal Shem makes the same statement. Rabbi Zecharia Simnar Sefer Zechira, first printed in 1709, states that the piece of Avikon protects one from Azikim. The last source is an additional reason for the widespread observance of the custom, because the Sefer was extremely popular in its time and was reprinted over 40 times. One famous personality who actually used this segula was Sir Moses Montefiore. When he found himself in the midst of a terrible storm, he cast a piece of Afikoman, which heaven knows why he had one with him. Apparently, he did keep it in his pocket all the time. And he cast it into the sea. His family used to commemorate that miracle each year.
He didn't throw himself
into the sea. There we go. Yonah 2.0. Yonah 2.0. Yeah. Reb Chaim HaKohen. If only he had this
himself,
man.
Himself.
Exactly. He's a living piece of the Afikoman. Rav Chaim HaKohen, Talmud of Rav Chaim Vital, writes in his work Tur Barakas, there's a special segula to save and hang a piece of matzah for the entire year, and that it protects one from mazikim, and this is really, you know, the source of the Kabbalistic practices, because all people start taking it up. The practice is also cited in a very popular anonymous work, Chemdas Yamim, which was first printed in 1731. Rav Moshe Chagiz writes the same about the segula, as Rav Danner. All of these sources appear to say the segula is not specifically associated with a piece of the Afikoman. Until 2010, these was the array of earlier sources known from this custom. In 2010, a fascinating manuscript of Chaim Vital was printed for the first time, Sefer Pu'ulos. He actually goes on to write, in the part that I cut out here, that no one actually knows where the Sefer is, but it's scanned online, the manuscript. But rumor has it that it's sold page by page as a segula to have the manuscript of this Sefer. So, anyways, in this work, Reb Chaim Vital writes that to calm the sea in a storm, one should take a kezias of the Afikoman and throw it into the sea. So we do see some significance of the Afikoman in Kabbalistic writings that we hadn't previously seen.
So when you go on your ship next time, or those poor people near Norway, they would have done that, it would have been okay.
I hope you never have to try this out.
Might be easier to bring one of the doors of Nicanor and throw that in.
Oh, okay, that's true. We have yes. Last night, actually, we
all copper.
I wish the same to people. Last night, we had we spoke about a news article in which a woman was unfortunately killed by her two pit bulls. But one of the things we talked about was different segulos associated with chasing away evil dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I hope you never have to try to use these, but. So I hope none of you ever get stuck on a ship which is, you know, being attacked by rough waves on all sides. But unless exactly you have a piece of matzah with you, then you're okay.
The Jews overboard?
There's unfortunately a background for that, as I said, with Yona. So anyways, the main source, however, which I was surprised he didn't mention at all in Svarim blog, is what everybody quotes for this, which is the Zohar. The Zohar in Parshas Pinchas writes... And I'll read the. We can break our teeth on the Aramaic here. Matza amai, hachi taninan shakai begin de amar leolamodai, di amar letzarosenudai. Of hachi matza begin.
Can you translate
the same thing like the mezuzah?
So I'll try to go through the Hebrew with the translation. Look what he says.
Right.
Of hachi matzah begin, I'll read the Hebrew and English in a second. Of hachi matzah begin, dikamishader, dimavreches lechol citrin bishin, ve'avid kitata behu, kigavna deshakai demezuzah, dimavriach lesheidim umazikim.
It's not really shadai, it's shomer dasos Yisrael.
Yes.
So it's not really, it's put into that. I gave it a shit last.
Correct. So he actually says, if you look here, so I'm just still scared of saying Shem Hashem when it could very possibly relate to or mean Shem Hashem on a mezuzah. But the way he's learning it here is actually that the word Shaddai has to do with Mishadedes.
Right,
okay,
right,
that's how he's learning it, that it chases things away. Yeah, exactly. Not that Shomer Dalsus Yisrael.
Same thing.
But
exactly
he says, right? Detara of hachi ihi mavrachaslon mikol mishachne kedusha ve'avid meriva uktata behu kmodat amar masa umriva al daksiv matza. V'hamasa b'samach ihu. The word masa umariva, which means fighting and things like that, is written with the samach. Ela targumo d'masa ihimatu. So he says, if you look in Targum Onkelos, you'll see that the translation of masa in the pasuk masa umariva is matzah. So says the Zohar. Now we can read and translate it. So matzah, madua nikreis matzah. Why is it that matzah is called matzah? Kach shaninu, this is what we learned. Shakai mishum she'amar le'olam odai. Okay. She'amar dai, that Hashem said enough. She'amar le'tzarosinu dai, that He should say enough to our tzaros. Af kach matzah. Matzah is the same. Mishum she'him mishadedes umavricha lechol tzadim ra'im, that it chases away all of the evil spirits. Ve'osek tata b'nehem. I'm not sure behu means b'nehem. I'm not sure about this translation, where it comes from and what the source. I mean, I know I saw it in Parshag, and I'm not sure if it's his translation or someone else's. Va'avit ketata behu could mean wars against them, not makes a fight between them, but I guess either one is possible. He says, ve'osek tata b'nehem, the matzah causes the evil spirits to fight with each other. Kedugma shem shaka shem mezuzah. Just like the Shem Hashem and the Mezuzah, Shem Avriach L'Shedim U'Mazikim Shebashar, which chases them away. Afkach Yim Avricha Osam Mikol Mishkenei HaKedusha. So to this chases them away from all of the dwelling places of holiness. Ve'osim Riva Oktatos Bahem, and fights them. K'mo Shenemar Masa U'Mariva V'alzeka Suv Matzah. As we said, Masa U'Mariva, that's a fight. And that's why it says Matzah. V'harei Masa Nichtava Be'osamech, but isn't Masa written with a Samech in that Pasuk? Ela targum shel masa hu matzusa. The translation of masa is matzusa. So we see the samach and sadi are interchangeable. Now, if only we had the space here. We do have the time, though, so we can talk about it. This is a bit of a problem. Because if you will take out a chumash, and you look up every single time in Tanakh that it says the word masa, it is never translated as matzusa. Rather, Masa u'meriva, the word meriva is translated as matzusa, right? V'chi yinatsu anashim yachtav. There are many places in Tanakh where the shoresh of matzah, so to say, limatzos, means to fight or to go against, but the word masa is never translated as matzusa in Unglos. So there are all sorts of different things, that we can do to deal with this. I actually saw there's a very, very, very lengthy piece by Rav Teichdal in his sefer, Mishneh Sachir. Has anybody ever heard of that? Rav Teichdal is very famous because he wrote Im Habanim Smecha. And I have never, ever, until now, had the opportunity to learn any of his others from. They'll say, oh, he's the Mechaber of Mishneh Sachir, but like, who ever heard of or learned from Mishneh Sachir? So I had the schus of doing that. So he has a very long piece on this.
And Hebrew books,
I don't know if it was on Hebrew books. I used it on Ozra Chachma, but that doesn't mean anything. Could be on Hebrew books.
I think there's a commentary to the Yoredeya as well.
Right. So, interesting. I didn't know that. I haven't looked at his bio in a while. Although Rabbi Yeris, who does the Seder Boker, he, as part of his Seder Boker program, he does, he goes through Eim Habanu Smecha. And actually, at the beginning of the year, he went and searched out till he found Rav Teichdal's original anti-Israel polemic. Because he was originally, his Hasidic community, the Munkachers were not so pleased with the idea of Zionism. So that was an interesting thing to see, little young Rav Teichdal in his fiery language. But anyways, later wrote in Banu Smecha, and then at some point Mishneh Sachir. Anyways, so in it he discusses it. It's very clear from what he's writing is that he's someone who clearly knows a lot more Zohar than me. But this is also not only said by him, but it's also said by Professor Yehuda Libus. And they both basically say, the Zohar is not saying this is a drasha, the Targum of Masa is Matzusa. He's saying that's what it means here, because we see the Targum of Masa Umariva is Nisesa Umatzusa. And apparently this is not uncommon for the Zohar to do something like that. There are places where some scholars seem to think that the Zohar had a different gear than Targum Onkelos, which is not that crazy to say. And you can see more about this in Parshegen, where I quoted it for you on Amud Shin Yud Aleph in Shemos.
But it's a guzma at best, right? I mean, matzah is in the Torah. Its meaning is basically a piece of bread.
Right, but you also have lematzos again, meaning to the fight or, do things like that. And you have sukkim in Tanakh, and the big question, which I believe it's Rav Reuven Margolios asking, he says, so why didn't you just quote any of the psukim and say, rivu matzah, right? Or you have something like that. And he's not quite sure why. It could be there was a different gear set. It's not crazy to say that. But the point, I think the point is...
Because even, you know, the Medrash of Shamar Lolama Dai has nothing to do with chasing away Mazikin.
Right. I mean, that's a drasha on the word shakai.
And the meaning of the drasha is that is how Hashem limited the world when he created it.
Right. But I would tend to trust both the academics and traditionalists who both seem to agree that this is not meant to be a precise drasha of this is what it says in the Targum here, but rather it's a general idea. And in fact, masa and matzah do seem to have some sort of connection that they mean something very similar.
Hirsch often does that, right?
Right, so he does that all the time. Yeah, Hirsch is very big into that.
And he goes very far.
He really goes far.
He stretches it a lot.
Yes.
But this isn't such a stretch.
So this is not such a stretch, and I wouldn't get all up in arms about this, so we don't, but this is...
And there's always a lot to be in Chadesh Chidushim too.
Yes. Anyways, and again, this is, enough for us to say that there is a very legitimate basis for this idea that matzah offers some sort of shmira, even hanging it on the wall like a mezuzah. In fact, the Zohar mentions it outright, right? It's exactly like the shakai in a mezuzah. Dimavriach l'shedim u'mazikim. So again, that's a pretty solid basis, and certainly not hard to understand why people would have began to do this minhag and to hang it up in their houses in this way. Now here we get, I found this.
The Rambam's mezuzah also had a shaddai.
Shindal
yud.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
For many reasons.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, let's move on to source number ches. With that, the last source on the sheet. This is just absolutely crazy. So here we go. Yishkama te'amim v'sotos u'remazim. This is Rav Yehuda Binga. I saw it brought on a parsha sheet, but it was so crazy that even though I don't know who he is, some Rebbe Mistama or something... but I really don't know. I didn't look up who he was at all. But
Frankfurt.
It's just
Frankfurt.
Yeah. So he was a big rabbi in Frankfurt. I did look.
Could be a chassid.
No, it's true. It's true. It was from Frankfurt.
Wow.
And after
it was
the war,
a Kabbalist.
After First World War, Lanzasin came to Germany, Frankfurt.
Maybe. Okay.
If he wasn't a chassid, he really sounds like a chassid. So let's see what he has to say. Yesh kama tamim sodos urmazim mashenasim bezeh halayla b'leil shimurim al kol hashana l'shmira be'ulah. Meula be'ezras Hashem yisparach ulekach noagin ama devar v'nispashe taminag acher achilas afikoman. Says here's the minag based on shmira sheyichu chaticha ktana me'afikoman b'shnei leilos shal pesach l'soch kisam v'nose etzlam kol hashana ad pesach haba aleinu
l'tova. So both nights you have to do it. So if you
have extra straw, and Rav Teichdal has a back and forth.
What do you do if you're living there, you're from Golis and you go to Eretz Yisrael? You keep two pieces.
Yes, you keep two pieces of Afikoman. Exactly. Now here's where we go. Ready? Ve'afshar lefi umdina, ve'kasher lefi umdina nirali, im she'shamati migdole olam, she'mutar lios etlam tochakis, ve'leilich bo b'sha'a she'yotze b'sha'avis kodesh chutz la'ir, ba'asher shehi dainu afikoman halaz l'shmir al kamadvarim be'ezras Hashem, l'kach mutar latzeis bo. We continue, okay? That was one shocking thing. It. I don't know if it gets better, but it pretty much gets better. Gam min hakadmonim, you will not believe this. Shemeshamrim hanosar achar achilas afikoman, mashen nishar mivnei beiso oso guf chaticha gdola kol echar beiso ol kol hashana. Right, again, we keep that in your house for the whole year. V'ra'isi me'adoni avi zatzal. Rabbi Chiel Michel Binga. Shemakpid al oso chaticha lishmar ulhanicha b'shabes hagadol ba'al leinu l'tova oso afikoman, I kid you not, tocha machal sh'anu anogin lechol b'chol shabes kodesh machal hatznuma b'kdera shekaren v'lashon ashkenaz konin shalid, which is chalent u'mistama humina kadmonim. So it wasn't bad enough to keep your afikoman the entire year, but the following Shabbos hagadol, rather than burning it on Erev Pesach with your chametz, you take it on Shabbos Hagadol and put it in your chalent.
How do you do that? How do you social meal?
Exactly. Not everybody has that minute.
Well, one second. This is far more important than Shloshim Yom, which, first of all, is a very late development. When this happened, how this happened, it's all extension from Ochel Matzah, Be'er Pesach, Kilebol, Arvazo, Be'er Chamev, and that's Medina de Yerushalmi. That's all you need. So unless Shabbat Zagato was Erev Pesach, the problem is matzah that's a year old, I don't think you can say has any tam matzah whatsoever that's kibo al arusasu beveis chametz.
They sell it every year.
Not one that's been out.
Shmura matzah they sell is clearly marked previous year.
Yeah, yeah.
And it also says no refunds.
Yeah, but it's packaged.
And
so.
Especially
it's packaged. Yes, it hasn't
what?
Been opened.
It's packaged.
I mean, you also have to worry about the Chadash, Yashan, basic bus. Anyways, v'chein asisi miyom she'amati al da'ati u'mazhir liv nevesi, so they warned my kids they better put the matzah and the challen too on Shabbos HaGadol. And I thought that both these comments, you know, were so
the Shabbos one,
wild to say that it's mutter to be yotze chutz la'ir with this in your pocket because it provides shmira is, you know, not something that I think you would see in a lot of other places. But in a chanami, that's why I think this guy was a chassid. What do you want from me?
Yeah, he probably would need,
but
like
what?
Like,
sorry?
Like,
it's
like
an amulet.
Basically,
he's saying it's like an amulet, and an amulet would be a lot of carry on.
But, you know, I
that's what he's really saying.
Correct. And again, there are sources that back that up, but to see someone outright say you can be Yotze with an on Shabbos is something that's a little surprising. But you see clearly the types of chashivas these communities gave to this minhag, and I think that's the general takeaway message here, which is that this was
an assumption that you were taking on Shabbat, because you're saying you're keeping your pocket year round. It never leaves your pocket. In all the other sources where either you're hanging on the wall or it's in your pocket, I assume like laser, it stays in your pocket year round. So the question is,
your wallet on Shabbos.
I was asking whether you take it out of your wallet and keep it on you on Shabbos anyways.
It's got one pair of poison.
Hmm? Anyways, so that's this manag. I hope it provided a nice introduction to see sort of what we're dealing with next week when all these posts come and say, so what are we going to do about when you have to drill your hole in the matzah? And I, of course, again, invite you all back next week to hear the halachic conclusions as to whether or not this practice is permitted on Pesach itself, in order for you to make your hole in your matzah, so you can hang it up.
Well, next year, probably be able to buy.